There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
We are doing what we have been doing all along. We have been working on our congressional responsibility to write bills, appropriations bills, to keep government open. But that's not any negotiation behind the scenes or anything like that.
All right. So if we were wondering if they were actually negotiating behind the scenes, and it wasn't just the fact that both sides had dug in their heels and they weren't, well, there's confirmation, at least from the Pelosi side. Talk more about that and the shutdown, longest in American history, a partial government shutdown, and when it might end. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Also, a reminder, that is our online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's still up. It's not been up as long as the partial shutdown's been going on, but it's been up for longer. I would say, Dalton, this will be the longest online opinion poll question ever in the history of FM Talk 106.5, asking you how long you think it's going to be before government opens back up. We'll get into that story. Also, some news, speaking of the federal government and Austell, this news breaking. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, though, I want to go through what we know right now for ways to honor the family of Officer Tudor and also how to help out the family. First of all, going on this afternoon, 5 to 8 p.m., it's the first of the visitations, and this is going on at Dolphin Way Baptist. Okay, it goes from 5 to 8 this afternoon. Then there's another visitation going on tomorrow morning that is preceding the funeral. And then after the funeral, I think 11 o'clock, so it's, I think from 9 to 10 or 9 to 11, they'll have that visitation tomorrow. So 5 to 8 this afternoon and 9 to 10, 9 to, I've seen 9 to 10, I've seen 9 to 11. I know this, visitation starts at 9 and the funeral starts at 11. So from 9 to somewhere between 10 and 11 o'clock, visitation tomorrow, then the funeral, and then the funeral procession. I talked about this the other day, but if you didn't catch it, here's the route they're talking about for the funeral procession. It will come out of right there on Dolphin Street, just west of 65 at Dolphin Way Baptist. Is going to come out and get on Dolphin, go up to go into the west now, and we'll go up to the intersection there with McGregor, where it'll take a left on McGregor, then go down McGregor across Airport, where McGregor becomes Azalea. Azalea down to 90, you know, government gets there, takes a right on government, goes out to Three Notch. And the reason I think that you need to pay a little bit of attention to that route is if you want to go out and pay your respects and honor the family as that procession passes by. And we had talked the other day about different parking lots and places along that route. Some will probably be more convenient than others. I could say that early on, people could be, and this is, you know, with deference to those businesses, but right across from the church there, you have the shopping center, you have Atlanta Bread and a couple things there on the north side of Dolphin Street. Then really, until you get down on McGregor, where it's almost to Airport, you do have some Pine Brook Shopping Center and the Moe's Southwest Grill, and all, and there some areas where you could stand. The procession will go by there. Once it's across Airport onto Azalea, a whole lot of parking lot down the west side of Azalea right there. That big, big shopping center has lots of parking going down until you get to the neighborhood down there, kind of across from where Michael, near where Michael comes in to Azalea. Then going down Azalea, the next place, and I'm just, this is off the top of my head, and I know yet Fondy Elementary and their kids had lined up for Officer Billa's procession less than a year ago in that place, but you have a little shopping center or a pharmacy across the other side of the road there. But then when you get down to government, there's a pretty good shopping center on the right, as you're heading south, you know, on the west side there, even though it's not truly east and west there because 90's kind of angled. But that intersection between Azalea and Government, there'll be a shopping center there with some parking that you could stand. And then at quite a few places, if you think about going down Government, where the procession will be heading to Three Notch, places to be there. So the funeral will begin at 11. And then we'll have the procession. They said start at 11. I don't know. They'll start right at 11. We will cover this tomorrow on Midday Mobile and walk you through this. We'll be watching the funeral. Probably have some live audio from what different people say at the funeral, and then we'll give you a timeline on when they leave and the funeral procession starts, so you can be on the streets. I have a feeling it's going to be an outpouring of love like it was for Officer Billa's family, and it means something to those folks, I know, to see the people of the city lined up and paying their respects that way. All right, let's talk about helping out here, and there are so many different things going on, and we knew this would happen, and it's a good thing as people are trying to give of themselves, of their hearts, give to the family of Officer Sean Tudor. We have lots of different ways to help. We also got word from Mobile Police Department yesterday, giving money straight to MPD, and we have links on our Facebook page for that. Also, we have an event coming up on, it looks like actually two events coming up on February 2nd. One of them, Dalton, and if we can, we got that list. If people go to Facebook, they can check it out. You go to our Facebook page. But I know that we had the one event that was happening at Azalea Manor, which somebody was asking me what that was. That's the old Gus's down there on Dolphin Street, Azalea Manor. So there, they got an event coming up on the 2nd. Also got word, and I'll have more details when I talk more with Cal and Tom from the Scuttlebutt Network and Panini Pete from over at Ed's Seafood Shed. But we do have a listing here for a pancake breakfast happening on the 2nd as well. Now, I didn't know. I'm impressed. I mean, I'm not impressed. I mean, Panini Pete can cook anything, but just at Ed's, they're, you know, not in the breakfast business, but they are for this. They're opening up on that morning, that Saturday morning, the 2nd, doing a pancake breakfast. It's $10 per breakfast. All the proceeds go into Officer Tudor's family, and it goes from 8 to 11:30, I think, at Ed's Seafood Shed, plus another event going on that same time. And then we have car washes. We have a bunch of different groups doing fundraisers for the family of slain Mobile Police Officer Sean Tudor. We've taken to listing those on our Facebook page because you can imagine with so many of them trying to keep them all in line, and I know you want to go, and maybe there's a different way you can help on, you know, by stopping by maybe on a weekday and grabbing lunch somewhere like they did at the Moe's Southwest Grill on Schillinger yesterday, or maybe it's something, you know, you're like me, you kind of can't get free until the weekends. There'll be an event for you there on the weekends as well.
Yeah, that master list of all the fundraisers currently up on our Facebook page, and I'll get that up on the website right now. And if you want to pull that up, because, you know, poor planning, I think I'm about to run out of battery before I can grab the charger. But Stone Arms Inc., they're selling thin blue line bracelets for $5. All of those proceeds will go to Officer Tudor's family. Beads and Leather selling end of watch memorial patches. Those are $5 each, and the money will go towards Officer Tudor's family. And I've got the links to their page there or the phone number you can call. Charlie Foxtrot Gear, they're a company out of South Carolina, and they're selling T-shirts with Officer Tudor's photo on them. They say it's a limited time only, but I've got the link to that. Shirts are $24.99 on their website, and all those proceeds will also go to Officer Tudor's wife, Missy.
Chrissy,
I'm sorry. Yeah. On Monday, January 28th, Blue Line Wash and Detail, they're holding a car wash at Spring Hill Medical Center in honor of Sean Tudor. That'll be from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. Monday, January 28th. $10 a car wash. That donation goes towards Officer Tudor's family. Then on Thursday, January 31st, the Remembering a Hero Sean Tudor Benefit and Fundraiser. That'll be at Cedar Street Social Club. $5 cover at the door. There's going to be live entertainment, raffles throughout the night. All of the proceeds will go directly to the family. Then Saturday, February 9th, and a lot of businesses went to put this together, food, a car show, jumping houses for the kids, and music. It's $10 a plate, and you've got SKCO Automotive, Auto World, Green & Phillips Law Firm, Rapid Towing, Big Al's Barbecue, Premier RV and Boat Sales, and more businesses that are helped put that on. That's out on Airport Boulevard right before you get to Academy Sports and Outdoors out in West Mobile, so across from Mullinex Ford, I think.
Right, that same place.
And
that's
that area.
Where Skeeco is. Okay, so we've got this list, and it goes on down through the 10th, and you can check that out. We also are taking your events. If you have a church group or individuals doing something, send us an email to Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N, at fmtalk1065.com, or Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. We'll get it put on the list. There's going to be a bunch of events, and I know there's going to be events going forward as well. Speaking of things coming up, in a little under an hour, so my buddy Devin Walsh from News 5 is going to join me because they're doing a telethon starting on Monday at WKRG, like they did for raising money for the family of Officer Billa. It's so weird that, I mean, here we are just 11 months ago talking about the, you know, 11 months later talking about the same thing, but they're doing a fundraiser. I think they raised $70,000-something in their last telethon, and we're working with the our news partners at WKRG to get y'all to phone in on Monday and make those donations. Devin's going to stop by at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about everything going on there and see if she has given me my shift yet. What shift? I'm going to work the phone bank there, so that'll be on Monday. It starts at 6 in the morning, goes through, I think, 7 in the evening, so we'll have details on that as well.
Yeah, I need that number so I can call you.
All right, yeah, I'm sure she'll have the number, the call-in line. I'm just hoping that I could get, remember Judy from Time Life Books used to have the headset? I'm thinking if I could get a headset, do something like that, but I'll be working that on Monday, but we will talk about that more and give you some more details. All right, coming right back, we're going to check in with our buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. So much to talk about from Washington and also Montgomery, and we do that next right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1220, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. And good to have my buddy Todd Stacey from the Alabama Daily News on with us as well. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
It's going all right. And lots to talk about today. And people can read the stories we talk about here in an email or going straight to the website. Tell them how to do that.
That's right. ALDailyNews.com. That's the homepage. Real easy to access. And right there at the top, there's a button saying subscribe. And if you just click there and enter your name and your email, you'll be on my morning email list where I emailed out all the stories from the day, the headlines, the front pages, everything you need to know from the state and Washington, D.C. to get your day started.
Now, you start off your email to us this morning that it is day 34 and it's getting real on Capitol Hill. And I do want to talk about that and what some of the votes may or may not be today on these bills proposed, one by the Democrats and one by the Republicans in the Senate. But I do, before that, I want to get into what has a lot of people talking, and that is the State of the Union, or the lack of a State of the Union, coming up next week. And Nancy Pelosi talking today, the president talking yesterday. What are we to make of this, and what are the kind of the rules behind this? You got some Washington savvy, some experience and wisdom there. Help educate me.
Sure. Well, you know, everyone knows the State of the Union as the annual, you know, time when the president goes to Congress to give his speech, right? It happens every year. There's a lot of pomp and circumstance. A lot of times it's pretty boring. You know, it's just an hour-long speech where, you know, he rattles off a list of things. You know, the people from his party clap, the people from the other party don't. I mean, that's, you know, pretty normal. In fact, it is a constitutional requirement. It says in the Constitution, the Constitution requires the president on an annual basis to report to Congress on the State of the Union. Now, it does not say you need to come over to the Capitol. Of course, you know, the Capitol didn't exist back then. It does not say, you know, it has to be a physical report. There are really no rules to it. But by tradition, it has been a trip to the Capitol. And part of that tradition is the Speaker of the House every year will invite the president on an agreed upon date, you know, to come to the House chamber, which she controls, to deliver the State of the Union. So it's part constitutional requirement, part tradition, but we know it, and it's kind of a known thing, a tradition that happens every year. You kind of get used to it. So this year, with the government shutdown, Speaker Pelosi is trying to use all of her leverage, knowing that she actually does control that chamber and when who can come in and out, to as leverage in the government shutdown debate, saying, hey, we can do State of the Union whenever we open the government, thinking that maybe that'll get the president to I don't know, do whatever the Democrats want.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's going to work. I actually think she overstepped this time by basically disinviting the president from giving the State of the Union. I think it's a bridge too far for a lot of folks.
I wonder, though. You know, I would agree with you, but then again, I would look at how polarized everything is out there, that one side's going to be screaming about it, one side's going to be cheering. It seems like everything, everybody's completely decided one way or another. I don't know. I mean, maybe there are. Maybe they are a silent majority or a silent some segment of the population that goes, you know, y'all grow up and get with it. But I mean, this, I think it's almost like a little civics lesson here, Todd, that with co-equal branches of government, people say, well, the president can just go in there and do what he wants. And actually, no, our founders set it up where the legislative branch, and in this case, specifically the House, has somebody who's at the top of it. And it's not the president. It's not from the executive branch.
That's right, and that's good. We,
yeah.
You know,
separate
the
power,
separation
please.
Of powers. Yeah. The reason for the separation of powers is to make sure that not one branch of government doesn't become too powerful. And I'm one that I've long thought the executive branch has become far too powerful.
Preach.
In terms of being able to do things without oversight from either the Congress or the courts. Those checks exist for a reason, and I would actually like Congress to have take back some of their
Well, they've acquiesced it, but they've acquiesced. It's not been, a lot of times, it's not like it's been ripped, and I'm with you. I mean, I have lamented for a couple presidents in a row about the growth of executive branch power, but Congress has readily offered things sometimes. It's like the legislative branch doesn't even want the power because that's where they're going to make hard decisions.
Oh, that's exactly how it has happened. Some has been the court. But in many cases, the Congress has basically said, "Okay, this is too hard. We have too much to do. The nation's too big. We're going to cede this power to an executive agency." Now they have oversight over those agencies, but little by little, it gets chipped away to where this fourth branch of government, the bureaucracy, is kind of running so much of the country. So yeah, count me among those who believe, we our elected representatives actually should have more authority than just the unelected bureaucrats.
Now, okay, with that, so Pelosi has the right to not have the State of the Union, but the president, or not have it in the House, but the president has the right to, he can go rent out the ballroom over at the Marriott, right, and do it if
That's
he wants
right.
to.
Yeah, so the Constitution requires him to report on the State of the Union. That's all it says. So he could, report it on a back of a napkin if he wanted
okay.
to. It's not, there aren't requirements on exactly how to do that. So, of course, they're going to get creative and see, okay, what should we do? Should we actually have it on that Tuesday? Should we, maybe invite members of Congress to the White House or, like you said, have some kind of another staging event set up? I think it was Mo Brooks, the congressman from up in Huntsville, who said, hey, go to the border with Mexico and give the State of the Union down there. Getting creative with it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going to happen? I do think this, though, Sean, I think it could definitely be an overreach by Pelosi, but Trump has to handle it just right. He's got to, use this moment as a way to demonstrate that Pelosi's not negotiating or somehow use this moment as a way to turn public opinion in his favor. The worst thing he could do is act childish in response to it, kind of get down in the mud with her, make her seem small, make her seem the one that is not willing to negotiate. So many times with President Trump, it's not necessarily what the other side does, but his reaction to it that doesn't do him any favors. So, he really needs to keep it on the rails this time.
Now, it is going to be with his base, but his base will tell you that's what they love. They want a fighter, right? People are saying, the Republicans have been wimps and have not fought back, and they're constantly Charlie Brown and Lucy, the Democrats, pulling the football out of the way. They're glad somebody's in there and fighting.
Oh, of course. I totally understand that. My question would be, what has it really gotten us? What have we won because of that? We're in the longest government shutdown ever, and the economy is starting to suffer because of it. And we already had the deal in place, back in, early December. So, I understand, hey, well, let's fight, let's not be wimps anymore and all that kind of thing, but what do we want? You know, when you're inconsistent on communicating what you actually want as a victory, you know, it's hard to get them.
All right. And speaking of the shutdown and attempts to end the shutdown, one of your top stories in your email today, first up will be the End the Shutdown and Secure the Border bill sponsored by Senator Richard Shelby. Talk about this.
That's right. So, you know, Sunday night, or actually, I guess it was Saturday afternoon, President Trump went on TV and said, okay, here's my offer. I'm going to, you know, have $5.7 billion for the wall. You know, that's what I want. But in exchange, what we'll propose is some temporary, offering temporary protective status to a lot of these illegal immigrants who were brought here as children, the DACA kids, so to speak. Now, that's what Democrats want. That's part of their policy agenda, so that's definitely a give from him. He also offered certain delays on asylum, basically deporting asylum seekers. So basically giving the Democrats what they want, part of what they want, on a limited basis from the border in exchange for $5.7 billion for the border wall. That proposal, what the president outlined, was put into legislative text by Senator Richard Shelby. He's chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and that is on the floor this afternoon. As a matter of fact, they're going to vote on it here in about an hour. So that's the first one. That's the big full boat. Hey, let's reopen the government. Let's fund this wall. Let's change our immigration policies a little bit to give the Democrats a win. And that's going to be voted on. So nobody expects it to get the 60 votes that it needs to advance. And when that happens, if it happens, they'll move on to Senator Schumer's plan.
And I want you to hold on to that. I want you to hold on to the thought about that, because we'll talk about it when we get back from the news break here. Check in with Westwood One and Dr. Bill. Then we're right back with Todd Stacey.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you along. Good to talk to our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And, you know, you were laying out the scenario here with the Democrats saying that this Republican bill was pretty much DOA. Is the same thing true for the Democrat bill when it comes to the Republicans?
Yes, pretty much. So Senator Schumer is going to, you know, also put up a bill that essentially reopens the government for, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, just to sort of jumpstart negotiations. That's, you know, but it's no wall money, nothing like that. And so Republicans are expected to vote mostly against that. It certainly won't get the 60 votes needed to advance. So there you are. You know, Senator Shelby's bill, which is the Trump plan, won't get 60 votes, or it's very unlikely. And then the Schumer plan that'll go right after it also won't get the 60 votes. Now, that may sound like, you know, they've gotten nowhere, but what I'm hearing from Capitol Hill is it actually is good. You know, let's do it. Let's go vote on these things. All they've been doing is talking past each other for weeks. So these are actually pieces of legislation. There are votes on the floor. Everybody's going to be on record. Maybe that's a good first step. Okay, we voted on yours. None of it passed. Now can we negotiate? Now can we actually be adults and senators and sit down and figure something out? So there is some optimism from Capitol Hill that after these votes, you know, the real talks can begin.
All right, and the deadline here, the attempt is to get the government back open. And I love your reporting and how you look at things, because this is, to me, one of the big things for the country here, for the individuals suffering, but also the economy that has been doing so great. You said it's getting real for the economy. You're talking about the 800,000 federal workers missing two paychecks and what it might mean for the rest of us.
That's right. And I know that, you know, I've heard from conservatives, and I'm one of them, that all along, to say, well, hey, you know, we can use a little less government. So what's the big deal about a government shutdown? Well, one of the problems is it affects real people. And so we're about to have about 800,000 federal employees who are going to miss their second paycheck. Now, just think about that. Think about in you know, your daily life, going two pay periods not getting paid. it really starts to affect things, and hopefully folks have savings that they can rely on, or friends and neighbors, but that puts a real dent on what you can do. It affects, you know, how much you go out to dinner, or even shop for groceries, or can pay the rent. All these things that we take for granted, and that has an economic toll when you add it all up, especially in places where there are a lot of federal employees. We have several places in Alabama where that's the case, where they're not even just federal employees, but federal contractors. You know, so that this has ripple effects, and eventually it has a real economic toll, and people are saying, hey, if this shutdown goes into March, there's another month, we could be at flat growth, meaning zero growth for this quarter. You know, and in this economy, we've had this just record-setting, you know, numbers for growth across the country. It's been amazing. But this could really derail it if we're not careful. So, now it's time. It's starting to get real.
Yeah, that's a good visual there when you said ripple, because I think about it, hitting those families and those individuals first, but then site specifically, I can think about, you mentioned here in the state of Alabama, I can think about North Alabama with Redstone and everything going on up there in that part, and those people not getting checks. I think about Fort Rucker and the communities surrounding Fort Rucker and places where, I mean, you can even look at, you know, Pensacola and look at the effects over in Florida there. Those communities get hit, but then whomever they do business with outside those areas, then that ripple continues. It may be a smaller wave, but that ripple's still making its way out from those cities or those towns.
That's right. And I'm not saying it's a good or healthy thing that the federal government has that big of an impact on the economy.
Right, it should be a lesson.
You can't argue that it does. Right. It really does. Another thing is the Coast Guard. It is absolutely absurd that the Coast Guard is not getting paid right now. I know there are reasons that they went under the Department of Homeland Security, but I mean, maybe it's time to rethink that, because the Coast Guard is out there working, it's including in Mobile, every day, putting their lives on the line for our country, and they're not getting paid. That's a mistake. We've got to do something better about that. As a matter of fact, I think Congressman Byrne has a bill that specifically, gets them paid, and I'm not sure where it is, but I support that.
Yeah, he talked about it like 2 weeks ago, and it seems to not have gotten which I can't imagine how you couldn't get some bipartisan support for that bill, and obviously a lot of Coast Guard families here, and, you know, we're talking about and helping promote different things that folks in the community are doing to help out the Coast Guard families, but that is a small Band-Aid on a big wound when you go a month or possibly two or however long without a paycheck, and then you still have to go to work. I mean, that's beyond stressful for a family.
It really is. It's really unfair. I commend Congressman Byrne for sponsoring that legislation, but you're right. It's not going anywhere because, you know, it's a leverage point. They know it's painful, and so they need to exact every bit of pain to make sure that they get their way, and they do it on both sides. It's time to stop using people like the Coast Guard or any other federal employee, for that example, as a pressure point, as a pain point to get some kind of political goal. That's why the further the shutdown goes on, the longer this thing lasts, you really have, I don't know, people start getting fatigue, exhausted with it, saying, okay, enough is enough. Let's find a way to negotiate.
Okay, who fatigues first? Because you and I are talking about, I agree with you, idealistically, what is right, but you also have great savvy in the game, the battle, the war, the blood sport of politics. And whose side, the hue and cry will rise up loudest from the Democrats, the supporters of the Democrats, or the Republicans? Where does the biggest hue and cry come from?
Well, just generally speaking, Democrats are better at these negotiations because they have the media on their side. And you're just not going to get the media to report fairly or accurately about, you know, the shutdown politics. Democrats are going to win that every time. Especially in a situation with Trump, which 90% of the media hates. But in this situation, there is one important thing to realize. Speaker Pelosi has taken the House of Representatives out of the negotiations completely because of her feud with Trump, because of her going to the the big step of disinviting him to the State of the Union, she's basically said, okay, the House is not going to be involved in serious negotiations. That means it's going to be over in the Senate. I don't think it's a matter of who blinks first. I really honestly think it will be a negotiated compromise between people like Richard Shelby, people like Chuck Schumer, and the president. The question will be, after they come to that compromise, because I think it'll happen, does the House, you know, does Nancy Pelosi in the House actually take it up? Because she has got a left-wing base that is as radical as you've ever seen. And so will they accept it? And will she allow something to, on the floor that half of her party doesn't support? That's going to be the question. I think she'll probably have to, but she'll face a lot of pressure from Democrats to continue saying no, even after the Senate has passed something.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, because I think the radical portions of the Democrat Party seem bigger. I mean, maybe seem bigger than they truly are, because if you're looking at reporting a news story, they're the ones making the news because they're saying things different than what's been said in the past, right? I mean, if you're in the news business, that's the one you're going to look at.
Yeah, but honestly, this shutdown, it mirrors with the shutdown of 2013, except all the roles are reversed. So back then you had President Obama and Republicans only had one house in the House of Representatives. Democrats had everything else. Well, this time the roles are reversed. Democrats only have one house, the House of Representatives, and Republicans control everything else. And yet the media reports it the same way. They pile on Republicans acting like, the GOP are the ones being, irresponsible or not being serious or not willing to negotiate. The roles are reversed. Everything is the exact same way it was back then. But again, the media is going to take the Democrats' side every time.
All right. I want to, before we finish up, too, and talk about you publishing the op-ed from Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall about the high price of protecting the public. And, of course, that story right here at home in Mobile with the loss of Officer Tudor. He rolled out some stats in this that, I got to tell you, left me slack-jawed.
500 law enforcement officers having died in the line of duty. And that's just what we know. That's in the last 100 years.
Yeah. Wow.
That really does send a chilling effect out there. I read the op-ed. He emailed it. I guess it was actually kind of late last night. Yeah. And I said, okay, I definitely want to run this in the Daily News because I felt like it was important for him to speak from the top law enforcement official to say, hey, this is real. This sacrifice is real. And every one of these officers, them and their families that put on the uniform every day, they know how dangerous the job is. They know that they could be killed in the line of duty on any given, assignment. And yet they do it anyway. And we need to remember that. We've got to acknowledge and remember the fact that these guys are putting their lives on the line, and they know it, and they do it anyway. So I really appreciated the Attorney General speaking to that, reflecting on these last two that were tragically lost. I hope it serves as a reminder for all of us, for all of our state, just to remember and not take for granted those who serve, including our local police.
That's for sure. Remind folks if they want to get that email in their inbox each weekday morning so they can be up to date. They can know more than anybody at the office or the job site when they go in about what's going on in Washington and Montgomery. How do they sign up?
That's right. You got to read your daily news. It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. But right at the top, you can click subscribe and enter your email and your name, and you'll be signed up. It's free, no cost at all. But every day you'll get an email from me that runs through the top stories of the day. And I explain a little bit, like I do with you, Sean, about, hey, here's what it means. Here's the behind the story. But, of course, headlines from around the state, all the front pages. And it's a good way to get updated on the news of the day so that you're more informed than your colleagues at work.
And that's what it's all about. So you can just strut around the water cooler and say, well, what y'all didn't know is this part. Todd, as always, I appreciate it. Don't talk to you before then. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too, Sean. Thanks.
1247 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, we'll grab some calls and text at 343-0106. Also coming up at 1 o'clock, Devin Walsh from News 5 joins me and Jason Johnson from Landyap at 1:30.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you here. Oh, by the way, speaking of Thursday style, our buddies at Cottage Hill Package, another great event coming on tonight. New Belgium Brewing going to be there with samples of many a tasty craft brew. And just this isn't a guarantee because they didn't put it in the copy here, but I'm going to tell you, having seen these events go down before, they're free. They run from 6 to 8, usually on Thursdays for the craft beer thing. And you come out, you get a sample of the beer to find out if that's maybe one you want to buy a six-pack of or something like that. And also, if you're a fan of that brewery, quite often the people have swag, like hats and stickers and huggers and that kind of cool stuff. This goes on in the lounge there at the back of Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com. Make sure to like them on Facebook because that way you'll get updates. I'm going to keep telling you, but you'll get updates too when they have special events coming your way, and you can pick the ones you want to go to and come out and check it out. Once again, CottageHillPackage.com, and just like them over at Facebook, Cottage Hill Package. All right, coming back next hour, Devin Walsh is going to stop by. We're going to talk about the what's going on Monday. We've got a fundraiser telethon going on with our news partners at WKRG. She'll give you details on that. And also, let me just read this text, and we're going to the phone, but let me read a text so hopefully we can clear this up. Let's see. Out of job, federal employees can just find another job. It ain't rocket science. You go around, put in applications. They hire you. You got a job. Except, I would say this, if I'm a small business owner, if I have somebody coming in here, as much as I want to help out, if somebody comes in that at a moment's notice could be called back into work, then why you got to do the training and get them up to speed with whatever the job is and do all that. If I've got person A who doesn't have a job, and person B, with deference to the fact of what they're going through, but if you're a business owner, that only goes so far, right? If somebody's going to be working for you, you're going to give them a job, and then like next Tuesday, here it is, it's back online, go to work at the federal government, then you trained them up and now they're gone. I'd argue that it may not be that easy. All right, go to the phones, and it's Tar in Mobile. Hey, Tar.
Hey, Sean, I hear you're doing your great work as usual.
Well, thank you.
Look, why don't they settle this in Washington instead of dragging on? Let the president put this out. Excuse me. Let all the states in the union, no parties or anything, let everybody vote. Hold the vote either yes or no on the wall. That's number one.
Wait a second. Okay. Like a special vote, special election, yes or no?
Yeah, nationwide, all the states, let the people vote. See, the people put these people in there, then, and they're putting money and their policies ahead of the people that the voters like us that put them in there, okay? So let the voters decide on the wall, all the states in the union, put a vote, yes or no. And anyway, I'm a veteran, and I support any president in there. And you have a great day, and keep up your good work, man.
Hey, Tar, thank you. Thank you for your service to our country. I appreciate that. So, listen, that goes to the line of democracy, which I know that most people think, well, yeah, we're a democracy. No, we're a democratic republic. If it was a democracy, we'd be voting all of us on everything, and that is not the most efficient way of governing. Can you imagine stopping down? You imagine how bad turnout is now when we're only voting once in a while? Just think like, oh, yeah, I got four votes I got to do today. I mean, I get what you're saying, Tar, but at the same time, the mechanism is not there in our republic to do that. All right, let me grab, we'll grab some calls, 343-0106, and also got a couple other texts to read, but I want to also, made some notes here while we're talking with Todd Stacey. He mentioned Coast Guard not getting paid during this, having to work and not getting paid, unlike the rest of the military. And the reason there, I think we've talked about it, but if you're new to the discussion, it's one of, and it may be nuanced, but to me, it's a posse comitatus. In other words, the Coast Guard, because they operate in their capacity inside the borders of the United States, in the rivers, in the bays, in coastal waters, those things, they can't be paid through the federal channel through the Pentagon. They have to come through Homeland Security because the military can't operate just the same way that early on when the discussions, well, why don't you just send the military to the border? By the laws of our country, the military cannot operate with the paid through the Pentagon, operate against isn't the right word, but in a capacity with the citizens of the United States. That's police. There's police action, and then there's military action. Hence the nuance of how the Coast Guard is paid, so there's not an issue with them in their capacity doing their job inside our borders. All right, Chris in Mobile up next. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just don't understand what Trump is doing, President Trump. Why is he even giving Pelosi or Schumer any kind of part of the worm on the hook? Put the motion in motion, let it go to the courts, do what you got to do, and
okay, but okay, say, hey, no, cool. So let it go to the courts. That's been, but to do that, he would have to. The way, can I see this? If he declares the emergency and then puts the Army Corps of Engineers working on it, then it'll go into the courts. But unless he does that, I don't see, you know, I don't see the mechanism or the case for it to go. Yeah, somebody has to decide it's going to the courts, and right now it's really not the business of the judicial branch. It would have to be, he would have to go do something that somebody would say, okay, you can't do that, I'm suing you, let's take it to court.
Well, what I don't understand is, we know the Democrats are not going to work with him if he puts the government back in order.
Of course not. Of course not.
We know that. It's a game for him. And I like the last caller. Let the people of the United States vote this and see where we can get.
But you mean like you're like Tarzan, like a real, like a, we're going to have a day, we're going to say it's going to be the second Tuesday in March, and everybody's going to go to the polls, and we're going to have states have.
Yes, correct. Why? Because we put these people in office to
do that for us.
Hundreds of millions
to
of people,
do that for us.
Do it. But it's a game for them.
But that's what they're, I mean, in our system, if you voted on everything that came up, you wouldn't need representatives. You would just have, we'd have an app on our phone and we'd all vote on everything. Be like America's Got Talent or whatever the thing is.
It's just aggravating, you know, it's aggravating for the man and woman who's busting their butt out here every day.
I agree.
They got games. It's a game to them people up there. They don't care about American people. They don't care about us one bit. Y'all have a great day, man.
Chris, appreciate it. Hey, thank you. And always enjoy your calls, Chris. Thank you, man. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. I mentioned the full suite of things that are being lined up here for benefit of fallen Mobile police officer Sean Tudor's family. We have that lineup over on our Facebook page and link through on the website as well. One of those events, I mentioned a telethon coming up Monday. My friend Devin Walsh from News 5 joins me next. We'll talk about that right here on Midday Mobile.